Hi there, this is Pastor Woods again. I want to talk today about one thing thou lackest. And I'm taking the scripture from Luke chapter 18, 18 through 24. Before we begin, I'd like to have a word of prayer. Dear Father, I'd pray today that you'll help us to glean some truths from this passage. Help us, Lord, to each one be honest with you. And if we have work to do with you, Lord, I pray that this will be the day that we would, if we had to accept Christ as our Savior, then I pray this will be the day that we will accept you as our Lord and Savior. If we're going through rough waters and we just need to be encouraged, I pray for your encouragement today. Have your way, and what's done and said, we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Reading from Luke chapter 18, 18 through 24, once a religious leader asked Jesus this question, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not commit adultery. You must not murder. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. Honor your father and mother." And the man replied, "I've carefully obeyed all these commandments since I was young." When Jesus heard his answer, he said, "There is still one thing you haven't done. Sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." But when the man heard this, he became sad, for he was very rich. When Jesus saw this, he said, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." He was a rich young man with breeding and prestige, and people thought he had everything going for him, but something was still missing. He felt an emptiness that he had not been able to fill. Jesus was in town, so he came to see what this famous itinerant preacher had to offer. The Bible says when Jesus saw him, he loved him. Jesus was impressed at this young man's potential for God's kingdom. As he approached Jesus, he said, "Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?" People were probably amazed that this man had any kind of need. I mean, he had wealth. Lots of people think if you're rich, all your needs are answered and everything will be taken care of, and they wish that they were wealthy. Economically, this man didn't need anything. The Bible says he was very rich. He had youth. You know, youth may not be everything, but people throughout history have spent fortunes trying to find it back once it was gone. I certainly can understand it, because I know at age 82, I don't have the strength, stamina, or anything else I had when I was young. Ponce de Leon searched for the Fountain of Youth, and he found Florida. The Bible says this man was young, Matthew 19:22, but when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. You know, it's strange how material things that rust or get eaten by bugs or maybe are stolen and destroyed get in the way of our treasures in heaven. It's one of those situations where, you know, what we have we think is so important, and we don't understand, you know, that what we have is going to be left behind, and what we're going to have throughout eternity we can lay up ahead of time, and that's really where the most important thing is. So nothing should be in the way of our serving Jesus Christ. Matthew 6 19 through 21 says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where moths eat them and rust destroys them, and where thieves break through and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where moths and rust cannot destroy, and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also." He had possession. Luke 18:18 says, "And a religious leader asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what should I do to inherit eternal life?'" It isn't clear what kind of ruler he was, but he might have been a prince or a judge or who knows. But at least Jesus called him a ruler, and because he was a ruler, he must have had a place of prominence among the people. This young man seemed to have an interest in the life beyond this life. It's sad that his interest began in this world and ended in this world. He said, good teacher, what good thing do I have to do to earn eternal life? Like many today, he thought he could work his way to heaven. But Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is a gift from God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And so there's no way I can work my way to heaven or buy my way to heaven. It's given as a free gift, but I need to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. And my entrance into heaven is nothing I can brag about but by the grace of God. Matthew 19:21 said, Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me." But Matthew 19:22 says, "But when the young man heard this, he went away very sad, for he had many possessions." The other day I was asked, "Do you suppose this Jesus really wanted him to sell everything?" I think what happened is Jesus wanted him to prove that he loved Jesus more than any of the things he had in possession. And once he proved that, I'm not sure that Jesus would have made him sell everything if he was number one. Well, this young man had reverence for God. Mark 10:17, he came running to him and he knelt down. He recognized Jesus was divine and honored Jesus by kneeling at his feet. You know, there's a universal misconception about salvation. This young man said, "What good thing must I do?" The Bible says there is salvation in no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That's Acts 4:12. And again, I'd remind you, it's by grace that we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, the young man made a choice. It was either riches or Christ. The young man was so close to salvation, but the world had too great a hold on him. Someone will say, "Well, he was almost persuaded. I mean, he came so close." You know, to be almost persuaded to be a Christian is like the man who was almost pardoned but was hanged, like the man who was almost rescued but was burned in the house. A man that's almost saved is damned. We've got to not be almost. We've got to be right on the beam there. Someone will say, "Well, you know, Jesus should have taken into consideration." Listen, Jesus said, "Unless a man be born again, he shall not enter the kingdom of God." To be almost persuaded is not enough. Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, "You must not have any other God before me." He had to choose between his riches and the Savior. And that's your choice today, too. What will you do with Jesus? Well, what were the consequences of his making such a poor choice? Luke chapter 12, 16 through 20 says, "Then he told them a story. A rich man had a fertile farm that produced fine crops. He said to himself, 'What should I do? I don't have room for all my crops.' Then he said, 'I know. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. Then I'll have room enough to store all my wheat and other goods. And I'll sit back and say to myself, my friend, you have enough stored away for years to come. Now take it easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, you will die this very night. Then who will get everything you work for?'" A farmer had everything he wanted and more. He was so comfortable. He had a bumper crop that year and still had so much wheat from last year that he decided that he finally made it. I mean, he was rich. Like many today, he decided to live it up. God sent the death angel for him that night. What good did his wealth do in eternity? God doesn't care if you're rich or poor. By the world's standards, God wants you saved. God wants you to go to heaven, not to hell. That's why Jesus Christ died for your sins, so you could go to heaven. What joy to know all that the guilt that you were carrying and the sin that you're going to be judged for is gone because it's under the blood of Jesus Christ. The Christian is rich no matter what his bank account says. I heard a story of a simple illiterate man who got saved through the Salvation Army. He went regularly to the Salvation Army Citadel. One day he came home rather upset. His wife said, "What's the matter?" He said, I've just noticed all the people in the Salvation Army wear red sweaters, and I don't have a red sweater. She said, I'll knit one. So she knitted him a red sweater. The next Sunday, after he went to the Citadel, he still wasn't happy. His wife said, what's wrong this time? He said, I noticed all their red sweaters have yellow writing. Well, they were both illiterate, but she said, don't worry about it. I'll embroidery some writing on your sweater for you. She had no idea what the yellow writing on the red sweater of the Salvation Army said. It's yellow, a circle, and in it, it says the blood and fire, but she didn't know that, and that's their motto. It signifies the blood shed on the cross and our Savior Jesus Christ and the fire of the Holy Spirit which purifies believers. Well, the wife had no idea what the letter said. She couldn't read, and so she copied a sign from a store window opposite their home. She embroidered those words onto his sweater. When he came back the next Sunday, she said, did they like your sweater? He said, they love my sweater. Some of them said they like my sweater better than their sweaters. Neither of them knew what the sign on the store window that she had copied read. It said, this business under new management. And that's what getting saved means. That's what it means to be converted. That's what it means for the Holy Ghost to come upon you. This business under new management. Suddenly, Satan has no more claim on you. You're set free from the bondage of sin. If you maintain your walk with Christ, you're out of reach of Satan's vultures. In 2008, I put our Sun Valley property in a trust. Now nobody can put a lien on it. Our property is out of reach of the vultures. And that's what we do with our spiritual life. We give ourselves to Jesus Christ, and we're trusting him, and now nobody can reach us because of the vultures of sin that try to destroy us. A congregation had been hoping to build a new building when they learned an existing building was being foreclosed on. They decided to buy and remodel that building for their church. After a year of remodeling, a new baptistry was installed. The county building inspector would not okay it. I cannot, he said, unless the baptismal tank has a separate septic tank. Well, the trustees couldn't understand why a septic tank was needed for a baptistry. The building inspector explained it's to avoid pollution in the ground. One trustee finally said with a grin, I guess it would pollute with all those sins washed away. Isn't it time to let Christ wash your sins away? The rich young ruler had a chance at eternal life and settled for something far less that would soon pass away. In Portland, Oregon, when we were pastoring there, we had many friends who lived on the streets. Marty and I used to joke that we were probably the only pastor and wife who knew the names of each person standing on the corners with signs saying, we'll work for food. One of the men we helped was Martin. Martin had been a successful businessman who owned his business. He had a wife and two daughters that he loved dearly. He owned a nice, comfortable home and all the amenities denoting success. One day, Martin came home early and found his wife being intimate with another man. Well, of course he was angry. He was hurt beyond words. He grabbed his gun and began threatening both his wife and that shameful man. His wife called the police, and Martin was arrested for making threats with a gun. He had a trial, and he was sentenced to go to jail. While he was in jail, his wife sold his business, took his daughters, and left for parts unknown. Martin had no idea where his beloved daughters were. When Martin got out of jail, he was a broken man with no will to live. He started drinking and using drugs and ended up in the streets of Portland, a destitute, hopeless basket case of a man. Sometime during this ordeal, he developed strange symptoms. One day he passed out and ended up in the emergency room. He was informed that he had an aggressive form of cancer. One of his fellow homeless men, Aaron, befriended him and tried to care for him as best he could. We had a Thanksgiving dinner for the homeless one year, and Martin and Aaron came for the meal. Martin listened to the devotional, and he found more than turkey and dressing. He found Jesus Christ as his Savior. The two friends started attending church. We stood with him in so far as food, clothing. I even bought his medicine on two occasions. Martin couldn't afford it, so I paid the $90 each time. Martin now had a whole new perspective on life. He studied his Bible. He became an ambassador for Christ on the streets, telling people about his Savior. I'd like to tell you that God restored Martin's business, his home, his family. We came back to him, but that didn't happen. What happened was Martin was able to work through his anger and hatred with God's help, and he found peace that he had never known before. Shortly after we moved to Phoenix, Arizona, Martin died from his cancer, but he had a victorious death, knowing that his suffering was soon to be over and that he had a home in heaven with Jesus Christ. Listen, some of you are going through rough places in your life. Don't give up. Let Jesus Christ handle it for you. Jesus can bring you forgiveness, strength, and peace, and a reason for living if you will let him. I pray that if you're going through a hard time, that you will listen to what I'm saying and you'll confess your sins to Jesus Christ and let him become your Lord and Savior. Father, I pray that you help each one of us to realize how important it is that we make our peace with you. We confess our sins to you. We let you forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We'll let you help us, Lord, to live a Christian life here on earth and realize that we've got a home waiting for us in heaven. And I would pray right now, Lord, if anybody's not saved, doesn't know you as their personal Savior, and they're listening to this broadcast, that they will take the time right now to confess to you they need you as their Savior. Also, Lord, there are some that are going through some pretty deep water, physically or emotionally, maybe financially, but we know, Lord, that you said all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to your purpose. And so, God, I just pray each one of us will just snuggle up close to you and say, Lord, I want you to lead my life. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Excuse me. Now you know how to get in touch with me if you need to. I have a mailbox here in Sun Valley, Arizona. It's box 4031, Sun Valley, Arizona, 86029. You can write to me and I will try to respond. Or you can use my phone number to either text or to call me direct. And I'll be very happy to see what I can do with God's help to help you. My phone number is 623-845-2741. And I'd love to hear from you. I'm going to be preaching tomorrow morning at the First Baptist Church as usual. And I would invite you to come. Sunday school is at 10 o'clock. Morning worship's at 11 o'clock. And I will be preaching tomorrow on the topic of he was innocent, but he paid my debts. And I think that's something that could be a blessing. Well, come. Again, the church is at First Avenue in Buffalo here in Holbrook. And we look forward to seeing you. God bless you. We'll talk to you later.